The Zoom is on, Maishi?
Yeah.
Okay, good morning, everybody. How are you? Today's daf, Bava Metzia, daf Yud Ches 18. In Bava Metzia, we begin today's daf by thanking all of our sponsors. We thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Sheni. We thank the Schwartzbaum family for sponsoring all the shiurim, all the drushes of this month. In memory of Aaron J. Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, may all of our Limud HaTorah have a schus for his neshama, the neshama should have an aliyah. We also thank Leah Saul for sponsoring all the shiurim of this month. In the schus of her daughter, Alana Bas Esther's successful surgery and complete refuah shlema, and for a safe return of all of our hostages. We also thank Maya Hoffman for sponsoring all the shiurim of the month. In memory of her father, Reuven Ben Emmanuel, and the merit of Hatzlacha, health, and joy for all of her family. We also thank Yoel and Sarah Kelman for sponsoring all the shiurim and all the drushes of the month of Adar Sheni. In honor of the birth of their son, in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sassoon, Hashem Yikun Tamay, who was 21 years old and was killed fighting in Gaza March 6th, 2024. We thank all those who sponsored the shiurim. All of our shiurim and all of our drushes should be a zechus. For all those who need Yeshua, we should bring a refuah to all those who need a refuah. We should all be zochet to Yisrael Tavos. Today's daf is daf Yud Ches in Maseches Bava Metzia. We are going to begin two lines from the top, but just a very quick recap about what we are talking about in daf Yud Zayin, because it is one long conversation. The Gemara on daf Yud Zayin raised the issue that a Maisa Bastin, when you have some type of collection which is warranted by a Beis Din, then it's keman tenakit shtar b'yadei dami. It's as if the person is holding the contract, the document in their hand, and therefore one cannot simply claim that they paid it up. In other words, if a person shows up to a creditor shows up to a debtor and says, hey, listen, you owe me $1,000, and he takes out a document and says, here is the document that actually substantiates my claim, and I can prove that you borrowed $1,000. He takes out the shtar, and the shtar says, Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. Now, Shimon can't just simply say, oh yes, it's true, but I paid it up. Because the document says you owe the money. If you want to be able to claim that you paid up that money, you're going to have some type of receipt, or you're going to have to get rid of that document. Therefore, the Gemara makes the argument that any time there is a collection which is warranted by a Beis Din, then that is in itself considered as if there's a document. So if there's any type of obligation that a person has, because Beis Din gives them that obligation, you can't just simply say I paid it up. The Gemara was trying to prove that. And the Gemara wants to prove that from a ksuba, a marriage contract, where a person might not actually have the marriage contract, but the fact that the Beis Din gave that chiyuv. Beis Din says if a person gets married, then he has certain obligations to his wife. And if the marriage ends, whether it ends in divorce or it ends by him dying, the halacha is she gets a financial compensation for that. And the fact that he claims he paid up is not sufficient. Now the Gemara brought a riot to that previously in Daf Yud Zayin. And Abaya ultimately said that he's reversing the claim. In other words, just if you go back, he says, "My marganisa dilma b'makom shein kosim ksuba askinon deget haynu ksuba." Maybe what we're talking about in that case was where the practice in the land is people didn't write a ksuba. The ksuba obviously is a contract, but in as much as Beis Din is the one who initiated this agreement, maybe you don't have to actually write it down. Maybe just the fact that a person divorced their wife. Because the halacha is that when you get divorced, you have to make a financial payment. So just producing a divorce document is enough to be able to say the money is owed. Now the Gemara ultimately found ourselves with a little bit of trouble from the case of an almana or a grusha from erusin. Again, we learned previously that there are two stages to marriage. There's kiddushin. Kiddushin is where the financial part of the kedushin takes place. A person goes to a woman and gives her an item of value and says, "Harei at mekudeshes li." And then later on, there's something called nisuin,
which it happens to be nowadays, we do both of those together. But in the times of the Gemara, there's usually a full year that's spanned between the Kiddushin and the Erusin. Now, there's generally not going to be any ksuba written after Kiddushin. The ksuba is only written at the end. So now, the Gemara is trying to prove, where we're starting today, that an almana, that an arusa gets a ksuba. That's where we are. We're trying to prove that a woman who only had erusin, she only did the first stage of her marriage, she will get a ksuba nonetheless. Now the Gemara starts as follows. It must be that we know that an arusa, a woman who only had the first stage of marriage, gets a ksuba. Where do we know that from? Ishtai arusa. If a person's wife is an arusa, so they're not fully married. They just did the first stage, which is kiddushin. Lo onen v'lo metamila. He does not have the halachas of onen. Onen are the halachas of the first day of avelos. When a person passes away, the immediate relatives are called an onen. During that stage, there are certain halachic things that they must observe. No eating meat, no drinking wine. And in addition to that, a person is potter from all mitzvot, because the only mitzvah that should be on their mind at that point in time is the mitzvah of tending to the needs of the deceased. So if a person's wife, who is not fully married, but is only an arusa, passes away, halachas of onin don't apply, and the halachas of tumah don't apply. What are the halachas of tumah? If he is a kohen, the halacha is a kohen is not allowed to be metami himself. He can't become ritually impure to anybody, unless it's one of his seven close relatives. If she is only an arusa, but not a nesua, and he is a kohen, he cannot become tami to her. V'chein, similarly, he lo onenes, she will not become an onenes if he passes away. V'lo metamalo, she does not become tami to him. Now obviously we have to understand this line, because there is no such halacha that a female kohen cannot become tami. Therefore Rashi explains to us, it doesn't mean she can't become tami, it means that she is not required to become tami. Generally speaking, a person has an obligation to attend to the needs of their loved ones. And a person can't just say, oh, I don't want to do it. You know, I'd rather not become tummy. We force the person to become tummy because it's their relative. In this case, even though they're technically married after Kiddushin, however, and they would need to have a get if they get divorced, nevertheless, since they did not come to Nisuin yet, she's not obligated to become tummy to him. Mesa, this brisa continues, if she dies, Eino Yarsha. He does not inherit her estate. Meishu, if he dies, gobek subasa. She collects her ksuba. Clear, black on white, without any room for doubt. It says very clearly, if he dies, she is an arusa, she gets her full ksuba. So we see clearly that an arusa does get a ksuba. There's not going to be a document, so everything seems to be very clear. There's no document that she could actually produce, because there's no ksuba. And she gets it, and he's not going to simply be believed to say, hey, listen, I paid the thing up. Now, when we say he, we don't mean him, because he's dead. But his children are the ones who have to take care of his financial obligations. Now, clearly, she collects the ksupa. Now, the Gemara says, no, don't let the kasav law. Maybe that case, where we're saying that she collects the ksupa, is a case where he actually wrote her a ksupa. In other words, you don't have a proof from here to say that just because there was a marriage, that it automatically means that every arusa is going to have a ksuba. And even if there's no document, she's able to collect it. And no one's believed to say parati that it was paid up. Maybe this particular case is just pointing out what the halachos would be in a theoretical scenario where he did write a document to her. Nevachitema, the kasav la maila memra, you might say, well, if that's the case, then what's the chiddush? What are you pointing at? You wrote her a contract? Anybody who writes a contract to someone else has to honor the contract. Why do we have to have a specific price that says, if Reuven wrote his wife Leah a document that promises her that if he dies, he'll give her 200 zuz, that it has to be paid up? Of course, it's like any other contract. Mar says, Mesa eino yarsha itzrichale. The reason why this was mentioned was because we wanted to mention, to point out the halacha that he does not inherit her estate. So if she owns property, he doesn't get it. So once that was mentioned, we also mentioned that she gets to collect the ksupa. Now the Gemara says, El Abaya Megufa D'Masnisan Kahadabe. Remember, Abaya changed his mind in the previous Amud. we're trying to figure out why he changed his mind. Gemara says, Abaye changed his mind not because of these cases, rather he changed it because of our Mishnah itself. Why? If we're talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba, then, that was Abaye's point, the get hainu ksuba. In other words, Abaye's point, remember from yesterday, was that essentially as soon as she produces the divorce document, that document has a dual purpose. Number one, it confirms that she's divorced. Number two, by default, the fact that it confirms that she's divorced, it also confirms that she's owed money. Now, what that would mean is that we have no proof to the concept that if there is a based in warranted obligation, that you can't claim parati, you can't claim I paid up. Why? Because there's a document here. There's a get. Now, Abaye says, hold on a second. There's a problem with that. Atu get, just go back. If you want to suggest, we're talking about a case where they don't write a ksuba, the get hainu ksubasa, and the divorce document is indeed serving as her contract that she could collect money from. There's a problem. Atu get manam asayim ksipe. Is there a dollar amount written in a get? Now, you could reject that. V'chi teima, if you want to reject it by saying, kivin t'takinu rabbanon, l'migvalo k'man d'kasev be dami. So, you're right, it doesn't say a dollar amount, but the fact that Chazal told us that if you get divorced, you have to pay money, it's as if it says it. Now, lit om v'lema, let him just say, parati, I claimed it up, I paid it up. In other words, yes, I got divorced. Here's your divorce document, but I paid it up. You're right, Chazal say that when I divorce you, I have to give you money, but I paid it up. Now, you might suggest to Amri Nalei, you would say back to him, oh, really? You paid it up? You should have ripped up the divorce document. What's the problem with that? Amar Lan, he'll tell us, lo shavaktan. She didn't let me rip it up. You know why? She wants it. It's her document. Amra shall say, Be'ina l'ansuvebe. Sir, I'd like to get married. Everybody knows that I used to be married to you. And that came to an end. Thank you for paying me up the 200 zuz that you owe me. But the story for me is not over. I'd like to move on with my life. I'd like to get married to somebody else. And I know that the future Masadar Kedushin is going to say, Rebbetzin, we know that you used to be married. You want me to officiate at your next wedding to the next guy that you want to marry. Can you actually produce a divorce document that confirms that you're divorced from the first person? Now, she says, well, it was torn up. He's going to say, I'm sorry, I'm not able to help you. I can't officiate at your next wedding because we have no proof that you got divorced. So therefore, you can't go back to the husband and say to him, listen, if you paid up, you should have torn up her document. You know why? It's not his. And since it's not his, he doesn't have the right to tear it up as long as she wants it. If you want to suggest Amrin Alei, we should say to him, Yibayelach HaLemikre U'michtev Agabei, make a tear in it. In other words, make a noticeable tear in the get. U'michtev Agabei, and write on the back of it, Gita Dinan Dikaranu Lav Misho Lo Mishum De Gita Psulu. The reason why I tore this get is not because it's an invalid get. Eliki Hechi Delo Tigvi Beis Manachwiti. I tore it up so like this, it shouldn't be used as another collection. Mara says, you can't make such a claim. Does everybody who pays up a loan do it in front of the clerk of Beis Din? No. In other words, you don't always have the ability to start taking someone else's document and ripping it and start editing the document. That would be something that would be done inside of Beis Din. So if it's done inside the Beis Din, then yes, the Beis Din can make a mark on it. They could say this divorce has been paid up. Put the Beis Din stamp on it. She goes on with her divorce document. She can get married to whoever she wants to produce the document to confirm that she's divorced. And he has a document that says he paid up. But you know what? That's only if it takes place in Beis Din. Most people don't do all their official business in Beis Din. You sit down in someone's office, or you come to the house at the dining room table, you make a transaction. You don't always have the ability to be able to perform one of these official acts. So therefore, essentially, you cannot claim that the divorce document is the reason why he can't claim parati. It's not because of the fact that there's a divorce document. Rather, the reason why you can't claim that you paid it up is because at any time there's an official act of Beis Din, in order for you to be able to be believed that you paid it up, you're going to have an official document saying that you paid it up. You have to have a receipt saying that you paid it up. And that's how the Gemara ends. The Gemara continues now with a discussion of a Mishnah we actually learned previously about finding contracts or finding documents in public, whether or not you should return them. So this Mishnah talks about a case where it should not be returned. Matza Gitei Nashim, a person finds a divorce document in public. B'shechuri Avadim, he finds a document confirming that an Eved was freed, he was emancipated. Daitaki, we explained, Daitaki are documents that a Shechiv Mara, that a critically ill person will write, when he's on his deathbed, he wants to give away his estates. So therefore, we give him an easier way to be able to write a document about where he wants his estate to be divided to. Matana, or a document that the person, any even healthy person, is writing a document to give a matana, to give a gift to somebody else. Veshovern, and a receipt. So a person finds any one of these things. He finds a divorce document, an emancipation document, a document of a critically ill person, any gift document or a receipt that a person paid up a financial obligation. Harezeh, says the Mishnah, lo yachzir. Don't return them. Why? Sha'ani Omer, I'll make the assumption, kesuvin hayu, v'nimla chaleim shlo litnim. They were written, but they were never actually transferred from one party to the next. So this is the concept we raised this earlier, which is people sometimes prepare documents, but they're not necessarily ready to go. They're not ratified. Not ready to be transferred from one person to the next. It's a document that has information on it, but it was not intended to actually be given, and therefore, if you're going to just look at the document and say, Reuven divorced his wife, Shimon. So you want, sorry. Reuven divorced his wife, Leah. Take you guys a minute. Reuven divorced his wife, Leah. Okay? Now, you want to go to Leah and give the divorce document to her and say, listen, Leah, I found your divorce document on the floor in the supermarket. Now she may say, oh, thanks for giving it. Now the truth is, maybe Reuven never gave it to her. Maybe they never got divorced. Maybe they're happily married. Maybe things started to work out. And you gave that document. Similarly, when it comes to a person who's critically ill, or an Eved, any one of these cases, maybe it was written, but the final decision was never made to actually give it. So you're going to be facilitating a gift, a financial gift, from one person to the next, but the intention never was that it should actually happen. At one point in time, you wanted to do it, but it was never transferred from one person to the next. So you picking it up off the floor and giving it back to the alleged owner of this document is actually causing a very big problem, and therefore, don't return it. And the Gemara says, Taima, what's the reason why you should not give back these documents? Nimlach shalo litnei. Because we're worried that the person who wrote the document changed his mind and decided not to give them. So that would be, if that's the case, ha'amar tenu, what if you went back to Reuven? So in all of our cases, Reuven's going to be the guy who's writing the document. You go to Reuven and say, listen, Reuven, I found a document on the floor that said you divorced your wife Leah, or that you freed your slave, or that you were giving this gift to somebody else, or that you're confirming that a certain financial obligation was paid. What if he says Tanu? Ha'amar Tanu, he says, yeah, go give it back to the person. No, Snin, we would give it back to the person, the other person on the contract, Hafil is Mamaruba, even if a lot of time has passed since the date on this document. The problem is, Veraminu, this is a problematic stira. Why? Because we have a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin, which is how maybe get, the person brings a get, he acts as an agent to deliver a divorce document for someone else. V'avadimene, he wasn't so responsible. He lost it. So his job was to take a divorce document from Reuven to Leah, and before he delivered the document to Leah, he lost it. The halacha is matzul alter, if you find it immediately, right? In other words, the document has a date on it. So if you find it immediately after it was written, kosher. It's still a kosher get. Im lav, if you don't find it immediately, you find it a long time after it was written, pasul, then the document is going to be disqualified, it can't be used. So hold on a second. Why is it going to be pasul? If we just said earlier that that as long as the one who wrote the document gives you permission to deliver it, you could deliver it even if a lot of time has passed. Why are we saying Maseches Gittin that if a lot of time has passed, that you can't deliver the document? Amar Rabba, Rabba says Lokasha, there's no stira. Kan b'makum shashayaros mitzuyos. Kan b'makum sheena shayaros mitzuyos. When is it that the document is going to be disqualified? That's when the document was found in a high traffic area. Because what we're going to say is, the fact that you found the document that has a person's name on it doesn't necessarily mean it belongs to him. There's a lot of people who travel through this area. Many people travel through this area, and just like you dropped a divorce document, maybe someone else dropped a divorce document. And therefore, if a lot of time has passed, we're not going to allow such a get to be used because it's a high traffic area. However, our Mishnah was talking about a case where this document was found in a low traffic area. And since it's a low traffic area, we give it back to the person, we assume that it's his. Now the Gemara goes on and says, "Ba'filu b'makum shashayaros mitzuyos," even if it's a high traffic area, the only time we're not going to give it back is "Bahu shahuch zaku shnei Yosef ben Shimon be'ir achas." It's only if two people in that same city have exactly the same name. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is, in order for us to be able, this is Rabba. In other words, Rabba's opinion, and Rabba's opinion is going to be mentioned a number of times throughout the rest of this year, which is, in order for us to say that we'll refuse to give a divorce document back to the one who originally wrote it, there have to be two conditions. Number one, it's found in a high traffic area. And even if it's found in a high traffic area, it has to be that the original place where it came from has two people that have exactly the same name. The example the Gemara gives is Yosef ben Shimon. Obviously, it's only an example. Whatever the names on the document are going to have to be names that we can confirm more than one person in that town has that set of names. So therefore, because there's a lot of traffic, and because there are more than one couple that share the same name, we have to be worried. The fact that this document was found is not proof that it belongs to just one of them. It could be it came from the other one. And the Gemara says, "De'ilo tema hachi," if you're not going to tell me that Rabba has these two conditions in place to tell you that you can't give it back, we're going to have akasha de Rabba ad de Rabba. We're going to have a problem with Rabba upon himself. So now we're going to first learn a story that happened with Rav Huna. Rav Huna's psak is going to be inconsistent with Rabba, but when we get to Rabba at the end, we'll see where Rabba becomes relevant. What happened? Dahu Gita, there was a get, the Shtakach Beitina to Rav Huna. A get turned up in the Beis Din of Rav Huna. Rav Huna had a very busy Beis Din. We'll see very soon his courthouse was constantly being trafficked. And this guy found a divorce document on the floor in Rav Huna's Beis Din. It said on it that because of Bay, it was written on it, Bishviri Masa Da'al Rachis Nara. This document came from the city called Shviri, and it was on the river called Rachis. I don't know where that is. Amar Rav Huna said, don't give it back. You know why? Top of Yuchesim and Beis. Chai Shinon, we're worried, Lishnei Shviri. Maybe there's another town someplace called Shviri. And just because you find someone in a town called Shviri who lost a get, it doesn't help us. Because maybe there's another town someplace else that's also called Shviri, therefore don't give it back. Now, V'amar le Rav Chista le Rabba, Rav Chista told Rabba, Rabba was one of the students of Rav Huna, poke ayin ba. Spend your day today researching this topic. Do you know why? De la orta, because in the evening, Boy minach Rav Huna. Rav Huna is going to come to all his talmidim in the evening. He's going to say, my dear students, talmidei chachamim, I would like to present to you a couple of the cases that came to me today. I'm going to present the problems. I'd like you to write down an official responsa for those cases. So, Rabba was tipped off by Rav Chista that this is the question that's going to be coming up in the Beis Medrash tonight. Nafak. So Rav Huna went out. Rabba went out. Duck Ba'ashkach. He was Madaik, he spent a lot of time learning. Ba'ashkach, and he found the following Mishnah that's now, for it says in the Mishnah, Kol Maisei Besdin, all official acts of a Besdin, Harei Zeh Yachzir, shall be returned to the person whose name appears on the document. That's a problem. Because Vaha Beidina Rav Huna, in the Besdin Rav Huna, Dechimakom Shahashayaros Mitsuyostam. It's a very busy place. There's constantly lines of people waiting there to have their questions answered. The Kapashat Rabbah, and Rabbah answered the question by saying, Diyachzir, it should be returned. Now, why is this relevant to us? Because Rabbah told us before, you should always return a document to its owner unless the following two conditions are met. Number one, it's a high traffic area. Number two, the names on the document are names of multiple people in that city. Now, if Rabbah said to return the document, it must be. The reason why he was saying to return it is because only one of the conditions were met. And what is that one condition? That there was a lot of traffic there. But we could not confirm that two people in that city had the same name. Now, the Kapashat Rabbah, Diyachzir. Rabbah said to return it. What's the only justification to return this document? Alma ihuchziku shnei Yosef ben Shimon in. If we know that two people in that city have the name Yosef ben Shimon, that's when we will not return it. Ilo, lo. If there aren't two people in the original city who have the same name, even though it was found in a high traffic area, nevertheless, you may return it. So that is how we know that Rabbah is of the opinion you have to have those two conditions. Because Rav Huna's Beis Din was very busy, and Rabbah still said to return it. So the only reason not to return it is because you have nothing to worry about. There aren't two people in that city who have the same name. Gemara continues. Avad Rabbah Uvda. Rabbah, he paskin a shayla with such a scenario, Bekisna de Pumpadisa, by the flax house of Pumpadisa. How did he paskin? Kishmaite, exactly like himself. In other words, a divorce document, was found in the flax house in Pumpadisa. They came to Rabbah and they said, Rabbah, what should we do with this? So he asked, well, to see what the case was. Was it a high traffic area? Are the names on the document names of multiple people? And he paskin that way. Now the Gemara is not exactly sure what the official psak was. Ika de Amri, some say, Hecha de Mizavni Kisna. The document was found in the flax market where people come to buy flax. So it's a market. All day people are walking around. Who knows how many people could have come by and dropped their divorce documents there? Vahu shalo hochzaku. But even though it was a high traffic area because people are coming to buy their flax and their linens, nevertheless, the names on the document did not match multiple people's. Even though there's a lot of people there, nevertheless, there weren't two people with the same name, and therefore Rabbi said you can give it back. Some say, it was found in the soaking area where they would first soak the flax. Quite a smelly place. And Gemara says that multiple places, that is a very foul odor that would come there, and therefore it would be understood who goes there. Those who have to go there. The workers go there. It's a factory. You put on your hazmat suit, put on your mask, and you go there, and therefore you go do your work. But it's not a highly frequented place. It's not a high traffic area. Even though the names on the document that were found nevertheless matched more than one person, but still it wasn't such a highly trafficked area, and therefore we're not really so worried that it came from another person. It's not going to be common that people travel there. Ultimately, the Gemara is again proving that according to Rabbah, in order to say that you may not return a document, in other words, our Mishnah, which says don't return it, is only talking about a place where there's constant traffic and people have the same names. And the Gemara says, Reb Zera did essentially the same thing that Rabbah did up until now. Just a quick reminder. We had our Mishnah which said, don't give back these documents. And then we made an inference from our Mishnah which said, some cases you should give it back. And we asked the contradiction to a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. Rav Zeira did the same thing, except he didn't mention our Mishnah. He mentioned two different Mishnayos in Gittin. And just an interesting piece of information, this whole Amud essentially is copied from Maseches Gittin. So we've learned this before. Rav Zeira, Rami, Masnisa. Rav Zeira, he asked the following Stira, Masnisa. However, he did it from a Mishnah, Abraisa, on the Braisa. Umashani, and he answered it. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Hamevi get, a person brings a get. V'avad heimenu, and he lost it. Now, what's the halacha? Matzal la'altar, if you find it right away, kosher. Vimlav, pasul. If you don't find it right away, it's going to be disqualified. V'ramini, he asked the contradiction. It says, matzah get isha bashuk. If you find a divorce document in the marketplace, bizman shabal moda, if the husband agrees that he wrote that document to his wife, yachzir l'isha, give it back to the woman. Eina bal moda, the husband does not admit that he wrote this document to his wife, lo yachzir lo lazeh, below lazeh, don't give it to either one of them. Now, however, what's the problem? Katani mias, we learned in this case, bizman shabal moda, at a time that the husband agrees that he wrote the divorce document, yachzir l'isha, give it back to the woman. It says, if he agrees that he wrote the document, he give it back. But we just learned a minute ago that if a lot of time has spanned between the time that he wrote it and the time that it was found, you can't give it back. Umeshani, Rav Zeira answered as follows. Kan b'makom shashayoros mitsuyos. The case where we say not to give it back after time has spanned, that's when there's a lot of traffic. The kan b'makom she'ena shayoros mitsuyos. This is talking about a case where there isn't a lot of traffic. So if there's not a lot of traffic, what are you worried about? You can give it back. Now, we don't know the extent to which Rav Zeira went. Ika da'amri, some say, b'hu shahukzaku. The only time that he allowed it to give it to, the only time he said not to give it back is when you have the second condition also, that there's another couple with the same names. The lo nahadar, the haimid rabba. In other words, Rav Zeira will be exactly the same thing as Rabba. They both say exactly the same thing, that the only time you don't give it back is if there are these two conditions. Number one, there's a lot of traffic. Number two, two couples have the same name. Ikud Amri, some say that Rav Zeira actually argued on Rabba. And he said, Afagav delo huchzaku lo nahadar. Even if there aren't confirmed couples with the same name, nevertheless, don't give it back if it's a high traffic area. Upliga de Rabba. In such a case, it would turn out that Rav Zeira is arguing on Rabba. So it's not clear if Rabba really has anybody who argues with him. We have Rav Zeira who made a similar point. It's a little bit ambiguous if he requires both conditions. Some say he requires both conditions. One, that there should be a lot of traffic. Two, that we have confirmed two couples with the same name, and under those two conditions, you will not give it back. Some say that Rav Zeira did not need a second condition, and as long as it was a high traffic area, he would say not to give it back. We also have in our Gemara this opinion of Rav Huna, which is at the top of the page, which seemed very wild. I really couldn't get a good understanding of this, but Rav Zeira, he seemed to say we're worried about an unknown town with a name Shviri. Exactly what he was worried about is really hard to understand. The Rishonim spent some time on this. Just to point out, the Gemara doesn't seem to say that Rabba argues on Rav Huna. It's very possible the reason why the Gemara doesn't make that point is because Rav Huna may have just been testing his students. Therefore, he said, you know what? Maybe we should worry about two different cities called Shviri. And then he presented his question to Rabba, and Rabba returned a response. It's not clear what Rav Huna was held. But either way, Tosis asked a question on top of the page, which is that any time you have a get, a divorce document, it has to have mochiach mitocho. A get needs to be something which is clear. No questions. You can't have a get that has certain information in it which is not clear. Now, if you're telling me that we're always worried about an identical city an unknown identical city, says Tosus, Im Tomar, Im Kehler of Kuna, Heich Yigarish Kal Adamis Ishtel, Rav Meir, De Enam Ochiach Mitocho. Nobody can get divorced if you live in Shviri. You know why? Because maybe there's another city called Shviri. Therefore, your document is not going to be able to confirm who you are, where it was written. Tosus really says what we said earlier a couple days ago, which is, Rav Huna was only worried about this in a case where we already have an existing problem. Remember we talked about the person who says, you really cared about it, you shouldn't have dropped it. That's what happened. In this case, you dropped the document. The get got lost. You know, most people safeguard very important documents. You don't just take an important document, fold it up and put it in your back pocket and hope that that it doesn't fall out. Things that get lost already have a reisa on it. That's why Rav Huna said, you know what? There's a problem over here. But a normal get, you would never say, you know what? Maybe there's another town called Baltimore somewhere in the world. We haven't heard of it yet, but there's another town of Baltimore. Maybe someone has heard of it. I haven't heard of another place called Baltimore. But again,
it's in Ireland.
Yeah. In Ireland. Okay. Okay, let's move on. Okay, now the Gemara looks at these two different stiras that were presented. So Bishlama Rabba lo Amar Krav Zera. Rabba did not make his teaching like Krav Zera because he wanted to ask the question, Masnisin Alimalei Lakshuye. When we learned our Mishnah, Rabba preferred to ask the contradiction from another Mishnah. Why? All the Mishnayas were put together, were ratified by Yehuda Nasi, and therefore if you find the contradiction from one to the next, it's a very big problem. So therefore, he preferred to ask the contradiction from our Mishnah to a Mishnah Maseches Gittin. El Rav Zera, my time of the Omer Karaba, why did Rav Zera have to find a Braisa in Maseches Gittin instead of asking his stira from a Mishnah in Maseches Bavitzia? Amar lach mikotani ha'amar tnu nosten afil uzman meruba, dilma ha'amar tnu nosten la'olam kedekaimalon la'alter. Remember, yes, at the beginning of the Gemara, says, you know why you don't give these documents back? Taima de nimlach shlo litnei. The reason is because maybe the guy changed his mind and decided not to give it. Ha'amar tenu, but if you would have said to give it, nos tenafil is mamaruba, you'll give it after a long time. We never bothered saying who said there. We just made this long inference from our Mishnah, which is we derived from the Mishnah that because the reason you don't give it back is because maybe the guy changed his mind, that even in a far-fetched scenario, you give it back. Zera says, it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. Therefore, I didn't want to ask a steerer from a case where it's not explicitly clear that there's a problem. Now, Lamanda, Amar Lorb Zera, B'makam Shah Shayaris Mitzurios, Mitzurios V'alpha Gav Shloho, Sakush Neyosef Ben Shimon, Upliga de Rabba. Remember earlier we said it could be that Rab Zera is not agreeing with Rabba. So if that's the case, what is the subject of the machlokas? We said, according to Rabbi, you have to have two conditions. High traffic and two identified couples with the same name. According to Rav Zera, there's a possibility that high traffic is enough. What is the subject of this dispute? Gemara says, Rabba Savar Dekotani, we learned, Kol Maisa based in Hareza Yachzir. Anytime you have a Maisa based in, an official act of based in, it should be returned. What does that mean? The shtakach based in askina. Not only is it an official act of based in, but it was found inside the courthouse. Now, based in kimakom shashayaros mitzuyos. A based in is like a frequently high traffic area. And he says, v'husha huchzaku lo yachzer, lo huchzaku yachzer. It's only if we have established another couple with the same name, that's when you don't give it back. But if you don't have such an establishment, you do return it. Rav Zera Amar Lach, Rav Zera will say to you, Mi katani kol maisa based in shenimtsu, bi based in? Does it say any official act found inside the courthouse? No, it says, kol maisa based in. Any official act of based in. Yachzer should be returned. Katani, ula olam, what is it talking about? Deshtaka chaprai. It's found outside based in. In other words, Rav Zera does not say it has to be found inside the Beis Din. Birmiya Amar, Birmiya gives another solution to the stira. Kagon dika amri edim mi olam locha samnu ella alget echad. When did we say that you will return a document after a long time? And that's when the edim, those who signed the document, say, we only in our lifetime signed one get. Let's read the whole line together. Me'olam lo chasamnu. We've never signed in any other document, ella al get echad shel Yosef ben Shimon. We only signed one divorce document of Yosef ben Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, that the edim are attesting to the fact that there was only one document that they signed from Yosef and Shimon, and it was that couple, so then why can't you give it back to them? What's the problem? Yichachti ma'ala memra. What is the big chiddush? What's this novel idea? You can give it back to the person. Of course, why not? The Gemara says, now the tame, I might start to think we have to make these wild suspicions. Maybe leichosh dilma esrami, maybe it just happened to have been shma kishma, both the husband's name and the wife's name were exactly the same as another couple, the Edim Ke'edim. And what do you know? Yosef and Shimon is divorcing his wife, Leah Bas Yaakov, and they both chose to use Yehuda and Yisachar as their Edim. What do you know? What a coincidence. The Gemara says, Kamash Malan, come on. We're not going to start being worried that something so out of this world is going to happen. Vashi Amar, Vashi says, Kagon, Dika Amri Nekiv Yesh Betzad, Oso, Yeshbo Betzad, Os Plonis. When will we give it back? We'll give back this divorce document when one of them can identify that there was a very particular marking or a hole on the document. Again, we're talking about parchment, so there could have been a hole in it. There was a hole right next to that particular letter. Vidavk Betzad, Os Plonis. That's only if that marking was right next to one particular letter. Avonekibama, he said, oh, there was a hole in it. That's not enough. Look, Rav Ashi Masafkale, Rav Ashi was not sure. Simanim, when you're able to give an identifying marker on a document, Ido Raisa, if that works on a biblical level, Idra Banan, or if it only works on a rabbinic level. Remember, a divorce document would have to be something which is Doraisa. So he wasn't sure if it works Doraisa or Drabana. Rabba Barchana, we'll go a little bit further. Rabba, the son of Barchana, Irkas Lei Gita Be Midrasha. He lost a divorce document in the Beis Medrash. Amar, he said, Isimana Islei Vegave. So Isimana, if you want me to identify this divorce document by giving a identifying marker, Islei Vegave, I have one. Itvi Isena. If you would accept my own recognition of it, Isli Begave. I also have that. Ultimately, Adru Anele. They returned it to him. Amar, you said, Lo Yodana, I'm not sure what was the more compelling argument. In other words, there's no official based in opinion that was produced to explain why they made their decision. He wasn't sure. Lo Yodana, Imi Shum Simana Adru Anele. If they gave it back because I gave an identifying marker, because Savri Simanam Daraisa, that based on the opinion that Simanam work even on a biblical level, or Imi Shum Tvius Eina Adru Anele, if they gave it back because I recognized it, the Dav Kutsorva Mirabana, only because I happen to be a rabbi, have to be one of the leading Talmidei Chacham of the generation, that's why they gave it back. Well, Inish Da'alma, just a regular common folk, they wouldn't give it back. We're going to learn in the next parak in Eilu Metzias the whole discussion about Simanim, but definitely the idea of Tvias Ayin, where a person says, I recognize something, that's something which only works for Tzorva Mirabana, for people of high stature. People of high stature are able to say, I don't have an official simon on that lost article that it's mine, but I recognize it, and therefore it's mine. Therefore, he wasn't sure what the reason was. We'll stop here for today. Mirtz Hashem, and the Rav should be back tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful week.